Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. In 1963, excavation took place at Herod the Great's palace in Masada, Israel. And when they were excavating this palace, they came across a site. Came across a jar, and inside the jar was it was filled with seeds. Carbon dating the seeds, they recognised that the seeds were almost 2,000 years old and were from the time of when Jesus walked the earth. And these 40 years, these seeds were put into the seed bank. Worldwide, we have a seed bank, and if that goes, we're all in trouble. But they went into the seed bank, and then in 2005, these 2,000-year-old seeds were under Dr. Sarah Saloon, were germinated. Three seeds were germinated. They planted it in the ground, and in 2005... the first sprout of one of these seeds actually came up. It was nicknamed the Methuselah seed tree because they actually didn't know what the tree was or the seeds were, but it was nicknamed the Methuselah seed tree. You can Google this. It turns out it was a Judean palm tree, and the palm tree itself had actually been extinct since 1500 AD. So these seeds were actually from this tree that actually had been extinct in all that time. The Methuselah seed tree, or the Judean palm tree, in 2008 had a dozen fronds on it, so a dozen palm branches on it. In 2011, it was 2.5 metres high, and it was transferred to the ground in Israel, where it was native to that part of the country. In 2015, in May, it was 3 metres tall, producing pollen, and in February 2020, it was 3.5 metres high, and it was very strong. I have a picture of it for you today. There it is, the Judean palm tree, or the Judean palm date tree, or the Methuselah seed tree. And I tell you all of this to make one point. A single seed planted has the potential and the power to change everything. A single seed planted has the potential and the power to change everything. And in this case, it was bringing back an extinct plant from the 1500s when it went extinct and is now flourishing in 2020. If you are new online, welcome to church. We're glad to have you with us. And we love being able to beam this out to you today. I'm not going to talk for too long because it's the last week before next week when we have the divisional commander here. So you want to come next week? DC is here, the state leader is here for the Salvation Army, and we want to show off a little bit. So bring your friends, bring everybody you can, invite everyone, because we want to show off a little bit, just how awesome we are in the South, because we sometimes get forgotten because we're not in the city. So let's show him that things, great things are happening down here, and turn up next week. Do you want a lunch? Should we do a lunch? Yeah. Why not? Okay, let's do a lunch. Bring and share lunch next week as well. I'm so sorry for whoever's on kitchen duties. But we can all share out the dishes and stuff. Come along next week for that lunch. And then the week after that, I'm on holiday. So this is my last sermon for 2 weeks. And it's going to be good. But I want to talk to you about this seed, this idea of seeds and planting seeds of faith. Planting seeds of faith. And like putting a regular seed in the ground, sometimes we plant seeds of faith and we can't see what's happening. We can't see it germinating. We can't see anything happening to it. And we take these steps of faith in our walk with God, and sometimes we don't see the results from that either. And so I want to talk about seeds of faith today. Planting seeds of faith, because a seed planted for God has the potential and the power to change everything. Amen? So in Mark chapter 4, that's where we're going to go to. We're looking at seeds. And if you remember last week, I was in Mark chapter 3. Well, I kind of read the next episode or the chapter. Remember we said the best way to read Mark is like reading it in episodes. And each chapter is like an episode. So if you read chapter 4, Mark is really talking about this idea of seeds. And he starts off talking about seeds, and in this episode at Mark chapter 4 verse 1, he says this, again Jesus began to teach by the lake. I think the scripture's coming up. Again Jesus began to teach by the lake. Crowds that gathered around him were so large. Can I just stop there for a second? This has nothing to do with seeds. But when Jesus was teaching in the book of Mark, and when we see Jesus in the book of Mark, we just see crowds gather around him all the time. In fact, this is the eighth time we see the word crowds in the book of Mark. We're only in the beginning of chapter 4. In fact, 88 times you'll find the word crowds in the book of Mark. So it's a theme that Mark writes into the book. And I think it makes sense because Jesus has a magnetic pull to him, doesn't he? He pulls people to him. Now God says, you know, he draws people to himself. And he's drawn us to himself, right? Crowds were following him. Crowds were getting involved with him. And so this idea of crowds following him, recognizing that he's the maker of the universe, is in this, it themes out in Mark. But he goes on. So crowds are gathering around Jesus. He got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Now, most people who know me really well know I'm a bit of a nerd. not a geek. I'm not a geek. I'm a nerd, right? There's a difference. There is a difference. But I love this verse because it has some undertones in it we don't see in English. We only see it in Greek. And so what I thought I'd do is translate this verse for you in Greek, highlighting the bit that I want you to see. Check this out. This is what it says, Young's literal translation, right? So this is direct from Greek to English without changing the pretenses or the words to make it sound right in English, right? This is what it says. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he, having gone into the boat, sat in the sea, and all the multitudes was near the sea on the land. Now, capture this. He got into the boat, but then sat in the sea. Right? It kind of doesn't read right, does it? But there's an undertone here, because the Hebrew readers and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have known that the only person who could do anything with water is God himself. And so Jesus is starting to come out and say, I am God. Remember, this day and age, right, they believed that the spirits of anybody lost at sea and the dead were actually caught in the sea, caught underneath. That's where David Lockett's, you know, chest and all that mythology comes from. It's actually from here, from this time frame, right? And so Jesus is saying, when he says, I sit on the sea, he's actually saying, I sit above death. I sit above all of this stuff. I'm God of all of this stuff. And so he's starting to come out. This, to the original readers, would have sounded quite strange, but it was him proclaiming. And we know later on he walks on water, right? Really proclaiming the fact that he can walk over the top of everything. But right here, he's just sitting on the sea. I throw that in there because I'm a nerd and I just like to, you know, every so often give you something that's a bit different. Anyway, let's go on, because we're talking about seeds, right? So he got on about seeds. It's about the seeds. Mark, get your ADHD under control. Maybe I need a drink, that's what it is. Oh, by the way, that photo that just came up, that's actually the fruit. Can I have that photo come back up again? That's the date fruit on that Judean palm tree. So that's the fruit that comes from it. It's mentioned quite a bit when they say they eat dates in the scriptures. That's it, right there. First time we've seen it in about 500 years. Anyway, that's verse 1. Verse 2 through for a little bit, he starts talking about seeds, and he talks about throwing seeds. He shows a parable about throwing seeds, and some seeds fall on the hard rocks and are taken up, or the hard path, and it's taken up straight away by the birds. There's other seeds that drop into the you know, the rocks, and they don't have good enough soil, so they spring up quickly, but then in the sun they die quickly. Then there's other seeds that go between the thorns and the weeds and stuff, and they get choked out. And then right at the end, there's it falls on the good soil, right? We know this story. I've preached it here before, and it produces a crop 20, 50, 100 times what is in. And the whole point of the story is to actually ask ourselves, what soil are we? What soil are we? And this is the point of that story. Are we reproducing a crop? Like, disciples should be producing disciples. disciples should not be producing TV watches or should not be producing anything else apart from what we are. You can't get an orange from an apple, right? So if we're disciples of Jesus, we should be producing disciples. And so we need to be doing that. And so the question is asked, and it begs the question, what soil are we? What soil are we? Are we producing a crop for God, what God has planted? Are we reproducing disciples around us? Are we seeing growth in our own lives and in the lives of people around us? So Mark kind of writes this parable about and says that Jesus spoke this about the soil of our hearts and the soil of what's going on. And if you want to hear that message, you could just get onto the podcast and just type in the soil of my heart needs fixing or something like that, and you'll find the sermon from about a year ago. But Mark then has an ADHD moment like me and goes, oh, shiny thing, and starts talking about a lamp. He just chucks it in the middle of his chapter, talks about a lamp on a lampstand, and then he goes back to seeds. It's like me. You know, sometimes I go, hey, we're talking about this, oh, shiny thing. And then I'm back to what we were talking about again, right? He has an ADHD moment, and he says this in verse 30. So Mark chapter 4, verse 30, and this is where I want to pick up. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. I know I'm taking a long time to get there, but it will make sense in a minute. He says this again. He said, what shall I say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable should I use to describe it? For those who don't know what a parable is, it's just simply a story, an earthly story that actually helps us understand the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like and how we're supposed to live in the kingdom of God. That's all a parable is. And Jesus spoke a lot of that simply because if he was to actually tell us exactly what heaven was like and what the kingdom of God was like, and our brains just couldn't comprehend it. So he gives us an earthly picture in order for us to try and understand a little bit about the kingdom of God. That's what a parable is. And then he says this, it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Now, you all got some mustard seeds, right? On your cards, if you turn your cards over, on the back of them, I've stuck some mustard seeds on the back, just so you can have a look to see how small they are. If you're online, I don't think we can get a camera zoomed in enough for that, so I'm so sorry. But if you can just imagine a mustard seed. Thank you, Val, for giving me these mustard seeds about a year and a half ago when I was studying this. Stand still. You reckon you can zoom in on that? I don't think you can get that close. Maybe just take the picture or the card that's there, right? If you're online. A mustard seed is tiny. They're small, right? And I've just found out, just before I started preaching, I didn't see this. Don't look up my nose. No, let's not do that. And I just found out, actually from Val, that this is actually the shell of the seed. The seed is actually inside this. That's tiny, right? Tiny. In fact, it's the smallest seed, according to Jesus, in the world. And at this time, it was the smallest seed in the known world. We actually do know that cumin is a little bit smaller, but only just. Like, in the known world at this time, it was the smallest seed, right? So I'm going to go with Jesus instead of Google and say that this is the smallest seed in the world, right? Smallest seed in the world. And then it says this in verse 32. Oh, I'm blurry. There, I'm back. He says this in verse 32. When planted, it grows to become the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Just for comparison, I decided to give you a photo of a mustard tree versus a mustard seed. Can I have this next photo come up, please? Oh, no. Come on, that's pretty amazing, right? Come on, really, my mind is blown when I think this through, that a seed so small, and I've got one just here, I don't even know if you can see it in the room, I've got one, so small can grow to be something so big. Like, this just blows my mind. Does it not blow your mind? Wow! Like, we don't stop long enough to actually think this through, like, wow, that can turn to be a 30-foot tree. Let me put it in perspective for you. Right now, right, the audio in this room is being combined with the video in this room on the computer at the back desk. then through a Cat6 cable, is going through the Cat6 cable to the modem, which is then going up through into the internet and then shined through a satellite station up to a satellite, bounced across the other side of the world, then beamed back down to another kind of modem satellite station, which then hits more cables, beams out, and then someone somewhere on the other side of the world in maybe South Africa or Canada is watching us live online as we speak. Like, technology is phenomenal. And yet, with all the technology in the world and all the scientists in the world and with everything that's going on, we cannot create that single seed. It can't be done. We can grow them, but we can't create them. With all the technology we have in this world, we cannot do that. We can't create that. That's how cool that, well, just dropped it, that growing into a big tree actually is. Like, the nerd in me just goes poof. It's unbelievable. With all the advantages, only God can take that seed and do something with it. Only God can do that. Only God can make that. And no more than that, we can't manufacture it, we can't do it. But that seed, let me get another one. You've all got it on your cards, right? How small these seeds are. This seed, and Zoe said it so predictively earlier, has everything it needs to grow into that tree. Everything that mustard tree needs is in this little seed. Everything is in it. Do you know some of us need to hear today that God has placed something in you? He has put a seed in you. And you've got everything you need to fulfill the mission and be the person God wants you to be. It's in you already. You are not broken. You are not got something missing. You're not a can short of a six-pack. You have got everything you need is inside of you right now because God has put it in there. Absolutely everything in it. King Solomon said it like this in Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has placed eternity in your hearts. Greater is he, Paul says this, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Like, everything you need for life to be the person that God has created you to be, to do the mission that God has created you and called you to do, is already inside you. Amen? You're looking at me like stum mullets, like I'm off the planet today. But that's okay. That's okay. Like everything is in you already. We're not missing. We're not broken. We're not something. It's like we think this sometimes, don't we? But actually, everything we need is right there inside already. Like these seeds, everything is there. We are not mistakes. The problem is that we see mustard trees and think that we're supposed to be mustard trees. But God may not have created you to be a mustard tree. He might have created you to be a bottle brush with bright, beautiful flowers that are red. So if you try to be a mustard tree and you're actually a bottle brush seed, then it's not going to work, is it? Or maybe you're not meant to be a bottle brush. Maybe you're meant to be a Judean palm date tree. You see, the problem is we compare ourselves to everybody else, thinking that that's the solution. That's what I'm supposed to be like. No, it's not. God has given you everything you need. It's inside. You just need to cultivate what God has already done and put there already. Make sense? Like, you're a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. And every single one of us is different. And this world could not handle more than one of me. Probably couldn't handle more than one of you either. So, you know, it's a good thing that we are masterpieces and one of a kind, yeah? If we have the promised Holy Spirit in us and we have this seed planted in us, then we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, who grows us, who, you know, cultivates us in it. We just need to activate it in our lives. We need to make it work in our lives. But I want to look at this scripture and take it from Matthew's gospel this time. Same scripture, it says this, for if we have faith now, as small as a mustard seed. That's what we have here, mustard seeds. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. For nothing is impossible for you. Now, I've got to admit, I've never said to a mountain when I've been out driving, hey, mountain, move, and it's just got up with little legs underneath and walked across and dropped itself down. That hasn't happened. Although they believe it did happen somewhere in Egypt. There's some stuff about it down there, but you can research that yourself. But I think what it's really talking about is the mountains in our lives, the obstacles in our lives. Remember, God has given us everything we need in order to grow, to develop, to be the person we got to. But we do face some obstacles sometimes. We get to a place where there's some mountains in front of us and we can't get past them. We can't go over them, we can't go under them, we can't go around them. We've tried to do that. And it says, if you have faith, the small. And these things are tiny. This is like my fourth one up here now. There it is. It's faith, that much faith. That, I can't even squint and see that. There it is. That much faith. If we have that much faith, it's not a lot, right? In the God of the universe who can do all things and will do all things, if we have that much faith, then the mountain we're facing or the obstacle we're facing moves. Amen? There is power in a single seed of faith that is inside of us. There is power in planting single seeds of faith, sown for God. There is power in that. There is potential in that. Great things can happen. And I know, and I don't have to wait until the sermon's finished. I know there's going to be someone in this room or online who's going to come to me and go, well, Pastor Mark, I've been sowing seeds of faith for years and I've seen nothing happen. Come on. Someone's going to say it. Everybody was thinking it. Maybe they were. I don't know. But someone's going to, like, I've been sowing seeds of faith, but nothing's happening. Remember at the start I said when we plant a seed, it goes underground? We have to wait for it to germinate and come up, right? Maybe, just maybe, that seeds of faith that you've been planting, right, just needs to develop roots. I don't know if you know this, but when you plant a seed, the first thing that happens is it doesn't grow up, it grows down. It actually develops roots. And as it starts developing roots, then it goes up, right? Did you know that? We all do that. You're all smarter than I am. That's great. Doesn't take much. Maybe when you're sowing seeds of faith in, right? As you're sowing seeds of faith, you might not have seen anything. Maybe you're developing the roots. Because what God has called you to is actually quite big. And you're going to need some decent roots to hold you up. Because when the sun comes and the wind comes and the rain comes and the storms come, you're going to need something that's going to hold you steady. Do you know there are trees out there that have roots that grow, like they grow, you know, 2 meters high. But actually their roots go like for 150 meters wide. There are trees. The Californian palm tree, right? Check this out, right? The California palm, you've seen the big long palm trees that you see in any movie when you see California, right? You know, normally they're running down the beach and you see these big palm trees. I want to visit there one day. It looks like paradise, but you know. But these big palm trees, right? So theoretically, they look like they should just blow over. Their root system actually goes down into the soil and then a meter and a half only and then goes sideways and starts connecting with the next palm tree and the next thing. And each palm tree helps the other palm tree stay up. It's amazing. These roots are amazing. Like when we feel like we've been planting seeds and nothing's been happening, all we have to do is actually reach out to one of our people here and they will help us stand up. Amen? Right? That's what we have to do. That wasn't even in my notes, but I'm giving it to you. It's a freebie today. Woo! Like seeds of faith. We need to sow seeds of faith because it has the power and the potential to change everything. When Zoe and I first got here to the Salvos in Bunbury, the first couple of things they said to us was, this church has no money and it's pretty run down and broken. Not the people, just the buildings. I'm sure you guys are not broken at all. Because we sometimes say church is the people, not the... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm in such a weird mood, it's great. And I just don't care, I'm letting my ADHD out today. And I'm getting my nerd on, so it's all good. Anyway, the, building was absolutely trashed. Well, not trashed, but it was old. It was, you know, it was in disarray a little bit. You know, let's face it. It was tired, right? And there was no money to do anything. Do you know what? Zoe and I said, nah, we don't buy that. We don't buy it. We started planting seeds of faith going, we're going to make this place financial. In fact, we were having to take money from Perth each year to help prop us up. Because we weren't paying our bills. We couldn't even buy a pack of highlighters, people. That's how bad things were, money-wise. They couldn't afford to pay us. Well, they paid us, but they theoretically, you know, the church didn't earn enough to do that, right? And so we thought to ourselves, you know what? We don't accept that. We started sowing in seeds, going, God, you're going to do something here. You're going to make this place. You know what? It took us 18 months, and then Perth actually said to us, you need to pay the money back that we've given you. 18 months! And they took the money back out of our accounts. We dropped it back to zero again. Right now, we stand in a building because seeds of faith were sown, right, that is completely, pretty much restored. Yep. Amen? Amen? In fact, these seeds of faith, the seats that you're sitting on, aren't they comfortable? I wish I had one. Oh, I do have one up here. I could sit in it. Seeds of faith. Someone sowed into the ministry here. And we now have them. Seeds of faith. Right? Seeds of faith sown into the ministry. You see, these seeds of faith will make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen? Make a difference for the kingdom of God. We had to pay that money back. You know, there's a general trend in churches that over the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, they've been declining slowly. Did you know that? Aging and decline. We know this, right? And I don't believe that that is something we need to go through. In fact, I want to sow seeds of faith in that says, no, we're not declining, we're actually increasing. But maybe I need to show you this because this is kind of cool. In 2020, we know that COVID hit the world. Do you know how many churches died in that time? Close their doors. About 40% worldwide. Huge amounts closed their doors. Do you know what happened here? Because Michael and I started sowing seeds of faith with Christy and Zoe, and we started sowing seeds of faith. We wanted everybody connected into the place still. We started an online ministry that now has more than 200 to 400 people watching every week. Shout out to those guys online. I don't think you heard that. I need to say it again, I think. Omega was part of that too, you know. We started an online church in the middle of COVID that has more people attending than we have in this building right now. We have a decrease. We've increased a lot. Hallelujah. You know what? And how good is it when you are feeling a bit and you're under the weather that you can stay home and just join us still? Come on. Come on. Isn't it good? God is good. Seeds of faith sown in can make a difference for the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you today to continue sowing seeds of faith in. Because seeds of faith, a seed planted for God, sown for God, has the potential and the power to change everything. And so I'm believing, and this is the next lot of seeds I want to sow into this place. This is the vision stuff now, right? I believe that we could grow this church dramatically in numbers, but also in our discipleship hearts, spiritually. Yeah? I don't just want numbers. Numbers is one thing. I want numbers, and I want people to be discipled in that. Make sense? Yes. Right? And I can see every chair in this place filled. We start sowing. Like, that's... Let me get another one of these. I only need that... Oh, damn it. I'm going to do it like this. Oh, I got three there. Oh, they are so small, people. So small. That's all right. I've got it. That's all right. I've got it. It's good. But thank you. I only need that much faith in my God, who I know who can and who will draw people to himself. Remember, Jesus draws people, to himself. I only need that much faith. But can you imagine what would happen if we all had that much faith in this? What God can do with all of the faith in this room right now. Can you imagine what God could do with all of the faith in the room right now? If we all said to ourselves, you know what? God, you're going to bring the increase. God, you're going to do this. God, we're going to get discipled. We're going to get filled. We're going to get strengthened. We're going to get... Like, if we did this, all of us brought our little seeds of mustard faith to him and said, God, do it. Wow. What do you reckon God could do with all of us doing this? Right? There's a story, and we know the story where this little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? And he brings it to Jesus. In his hands is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not a lot. It might be, we could say, a mustard seed. In Jesus' hands, it feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, and there's leftovers. He loves leftovers. I love leftovers. There's leftovers. Can you imagine what God could do with all of the faith in the room? If we brought our mustard seeds and said, okay, God, we want to see every chair in this place filled. Can you imagine what God is going to do? We have a beautiful building. We have chairs. We have, God, we just want to see people come in and get saved and their lives transformed. And we want to see their lives being discipled. We want to see you increase. Increase. But I want to point one more thing out. I might get the band to get ready. Because verse 32, let me reread it for you. It says, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all trees and plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. You know, if you actually talk to a farmer who plants seeds, right? The reason they plant seeds is so that they can grow seeds and grow plants either for animals to eat or for them to sell. It's about what they can get out of it. Yeah? Track it, just nod with me if you're still with me, because I know I've been a bit over the place today, but just nod with me. Yep, you're with me? Okay. When we sow seeds of faith, it may not be for us to benefit. Notice what it says. Big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. It's not for us. It's for God's kingdom that we're sowing seeds. It is for God's kingdom that we plant these things. It's for God's kingdom that we start to sow in. Ladies and gentlemen, don't give up in doing good. Because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest and a reward. Let's us continue to have these mustard seeds of faith that have the potential and the power to change everything. But it won't be necessarily for us. Don't get me wrong. God will bless us through it. Absolutely. Yeah, but it could be for our neighbors. It could be for our friends. It could be for our loved ones. It could be for someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. It could be for them. Do you think when they first bought this building that they were thinking of just their generation? No, they wanted the church to last and to grow and develop. It's not just for us. The power of a single seed can grow this church. But the power of everybody planting a single seed, whoa, what can God do with that? We don't even have a church. We have all sorts of things happening. No, I am believing that there are going to be people called to ministries and missions that we haven't done yet to reach the lost, the last and the least. I'm believing that with seed sown, that people are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. and make them their Lord and Savior of their lives. I believe in that as we plant seeds, that we'll see more volunteers get on board and want to give their time and talents and abilities to see this place flourish and grow. I'm believing that as we see sows, we're going to see revival happen in our communities and in our towns. I'm believing that we'll see, as we sow seeds, we'll see the impact of God in this world and the impact of all that in our community. I'm believing that people are going to get bold and say, mountain move, and mountains are going to move. I'm believing that God, as we sow seeds of faith and we start to do that, this place is going to see a harvest like we've never seen before. Amen? I'm believing this. Are you believing this? Because I want to just tell you today, we just need to continue sowing seeds of faith, because it has the potential and the power to change everything. I don't care what the world says about churches. I don't care what the community calls me. What I do care about is seeing people come into knowledge with Him. Can we do this in the next 6 months? Can we start sowing seeds into people's lives? Can we really make a difference in our community? Can we start to invite people, talk to people, get involved, start sowing these seeds of faith into people's lives so that we can see them come to Jesus? And if we do that, we will see this place filled. What do you reckon? Can we do that, church? I think we could do this. The vision is this, to see the place filled. I love hearing the kids and what's happening down there. But I also know there's plenty of adults out there that need this too. I know there's plenty of people that need this. And all it's going to take from us is planting a few seeds of faith in people's lives. Can we do that? So let's start planting some seeds of faith, because it has the power and the potential to change everything. Amen. I should have held on to that one. Let's pray. Father God, today we just want to come before you and we acknowledge the fact that you are the God of the universe, that you can do all things, that you will do all things. But God, today we want to sow seeds of faith into the people around us. We want to sow seeds of faith into the community, into people's hearts, into people's minds. We want to make sure that they come into that saving knowledge of Jesus and of you. So Lord, today as we look at seeds, we understand, God, that it has the power. A seed has the power and potential to change everything. And so with that, we want to change our community with the Jesus Revolution. So help us to do that as we plant seeds of hope, plant seeds of faith, plant seeds of in our community with our people. Because we want to see them saved. We want to see hell plundered and heaven populated. We want to be singing that hell's lost another one because someone has been set free. Lord God, we want a revival to kick through this land and through our church. We're planting seeds of faith today, knowing that you can and you will. Amen. Glad